Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post show for March the 6th, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl, or at thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. It's still a mouthful. I'm still trying to figure it out, but it's all part of the process, and this is what we do. So go ahead and get in on it, will you? With me always, the one and only phenomenal Cresta Star. How are you doing tonight?
I am in shambles, but I am here. I am patched together with tape and the specter of...
You look great.
Thank you. Thank you. This is the type of time I'm on.
Your hair looks lovely. I like the curls.
Thank you. How are you, Joel Pearl? That's more of a... How are you?
I'm okay. I'm tired, but some nice things have happened. I posted this on socials. Shout out to the Passport Canada. Okay. I want to tell you a quick story. I was leaving my kids' daycare, dropped them off, and I'm walking back and I'm like, didn't I get my passport 10 years ago around this time? Shoot, that means it's expired. I go home and lo and behold, I open up my passport and it was expired February 25th. Okay. I need it for some stuff that I'm going to be doing soon. So I'm like, oh shit, I should probably get it done now since I have Tuesdays are my day off. So I go and I fill out the forms. I go down to Passport Canada. That's Tuesday. So this is 9 a.m. I realize it's expired. 10 a.m. I get to the actual office. I leave the office having filed all of my paperwork by 11 a.m. They came in, they processed me, they saw me, and they said, your passport will be mailed out by the 18th of March, which is in 2 weeks, and you'll get it by registered mail. Sure, I'm not in a hurry. Don't need it right away. Today, 5 o'clock, the place I live sends me an email. There is a Canada Post package waiting for you. My passport arrived. It took less than 2 days. And I was quite impressed. Shout out to Passport Canada. So for that, I feel okay.
That's really great. I got my passport for the first time really, really quickly too. So I think now's the time. If you're thinking about it, just be smart. Just do it quickly. Quickly, swiftly.
Yeah, just make sure you have all your, you know, your stuff signed up and the photos you need and you're good to go. But
yeah, just have all your documents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Otherwise, you got to go. I saw people being like, you got to get new photos done. So one of the people in line, I got to tell you, this is someone who worked at Passport Canada telling this woman who had just shown up to get her passport renewed. He looked at the photo and said, I can see your tooth, not teeth, tooth. And the woman says, I went to a place that like does passport photos like legitimately. And he's like, I understand that. And she's like, they took 6 photos. And he's like, I understand that, but you can see your tooth. And you're not supposed to be able to see your teeth in your passport photo. You're not supposed to smile. He shows her with, I swear to God, he takes the photo, puts it on the desk, and has like, not the magnifying glass, but you know the ones that, it's not like an old school magnifying glass where you're holding it, but it's like the one where you look at the diamond almost, where you put in your eye. He's doing that. And she's looking at it, and she's like, yeah, no, that's my teeth. And he's like, can't take that. I can't take that photo.
And you can be upset about it, but at least he's saving you money rather than you submit it and then they reject it and then you're out like $200.
So the whole deal is you got to go and get them redone. But if you are working with Passport Canada or like you're an authorized photo taker, you can take a letter that Passport Canada will give you to that dealer and they will reshoot the photos for free.
That's fair.
So I guess that's what I understand, but they also can't tell you where to go because then they don't have any contracts with these people because there is a place across the street from the passport office where I go, where you can get your photo taken, but they go out of their way to tell you, I cannot tell you where it is, but I understand that if you go outside and maybe take a walk, maybe right down the block, wink, wink, there might be a place that does it. And people typically get to the hint unless they are not very well adept at this stuff.
They're not good hint takers. They're not very good hint takers.
Saw one or two. But anyway, this is completely inane. And I know that this is kind of worthless, but it's 10 o'clock when I get up at, you know, early on every day. But here we are. We're going to talk about TNA Impact. And if you want to get in on the conversation and you want to divert us away from passport talk, you can go ahead, leave a thumbs up on the video, subscribe to us here at Fightful.com. And of course, Fightful Select is the best $6 in the business. Plenty of news coming into AEW Revolution weekend. We got notes from the Tony Khan media call that happened this afternoon. We had news on Steph DeLander working without a TNA contract. She was under contract. Now she's not. Now she's date to date, waiting on whatever that means. Who knows? She's still doing TNA stuff. That's all that matters. The Weekender podcast, Ask Grapsity, Sean's Q&A, wishing Sean the best. He's taking a couple days to hang out to lay low. Good for him. Mental health, most important. But $6, best $6 in the business. That's what you want to see. FightfulSelect.com. Or you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement right on the air to support us on this here show. And then there's HumperChats.com, and this is where Cresta comes in.
I come in here to tell you that if you also would like to get in on the conversation and donate a little bit more of the proceeds, head on over to HumperChats.com. Myself and Joel will read your chat aloud, have us a good funky talk about it. We'll be happy. It makes us happy, Sean happy. HumperChats.com. Do it. We're do it now.
Do it now. Get the chopper. Okay. TNA Sacrifices next Friday. Will we do a post show? I don't think so, but we'll see. I have a feeling we could take a Friday. It's Friday night. The show starts at 8. It's not going to end till 11. Cresta, let's look at this objectively. Friday night, I'm tired.
I agree. I'm an old lady as well. And also, I am a nerd. I have a bunch of video games. Enter the Gungeon, Monster Hunter World. Is it Rise or World? I don't know. I just got it. It's my first time Monster Hunter. The Marvel Rivals, I got a lot of games on the docket. So I'm not upset if we don't watch it. But at the same time, I would be sports interested. We'll see what the wind says.
If there is a major moment that happens, I'm talking title change, then we will go live and do it. If nothing really happens, it's a plus event. We will talk about it the next Thursday along with the show as things kind of come up in conversation with that episode of Impact. I'm not expecting a lot other than, honestly, the standout match is Ali versus Santana. That's going to be the standout. Other than that, there's a little bit of stuff that came up tonight and possible fun matches. The 10-man tag main event is now in a steel cage, which I knew, but I obviously wasn't going to put out there because we don't spoil the show if we can help it. So that's now official. It's a 10-man tag in a steel cage. First time in almost 6 years, about 5.5 years that TNA has had a cage match. That's pretty neat. So it's cool. Unless Nick Nemeth turns on everybody, I don't think even that's going to get us to do it. Someone's going to turn on Joe Hendry. Someone's going to take out Joe Hendry. That's all.
It's Ryan Nemeth. That was, to me, that was so telegraphed tonight. But the Nemeth boys are going into business for the Nemeths. The Nemeths.
So let's hit that real quick, because that was a very interesting moment. They dropped that yesterday, by the way, like during Dynamite. They're like, breaking news, Nick Nemeth is the 10th man. I was like, wait, why now? Why not talk about this tomorrow? But anyway, the show opens up. It's Elijah versus Brian Myers. It's fine. Elijah gets the win. He gets the Hangman's Farewell, which is basically a tombstone. Post-match, Edward Edwards and JDC attack Elijah. Joe Hendry makes the save. He's got the white guitar. So that's all to get to this next point. They're all backstage, and this is the video that they dropped on socials, but they played it tonight. And it was a little hokey, but a little fun. Ryan Nemeth walks in, and he thinks he's on the team for Sacrifice. And then Matt Hardy gets on a FaceTime with Nick Nemeth, and there's like, they're doing the awkward camera swapping between FaceTime people, and that was something else. That's a production thing. I didn't love it. Ryan's basically been lying to Nick about the work he's been doing while Nick's been suspended. Meanwhile, all this is telling me is that Nick Nemeth does not watch the product at all. Just like, all right, thanks for telling on yourself, Nick. Nick's in the match. Ryan is out because nobody likes Ryan. Nick tries to support and says he understands. And then he says, I want to tell Ryan by myself. Let me know. And then Matt's like, oh no, he's in the room. And Ryan Nemeth is a sad boy because no one likes him.
That was diabolical on Matt Hardy's part. Like you said in the beginning, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, called his brother. And not once did you tell Nick Nemeth, hey, by the way, your brother, you could have flashed him in the background. That was a little bit diabolical. However, this is a joke. Let me preface, because I know people take things out of context. This was some grade A bullying, because holy crap. I don't mean to laugh, but I have to, because he's like, your brother hasn't been doing any of that. Like you said, to me, it also proves that, yo, Nick, you don't watch the product? What is... This was funny. When he said, I hate you all, I don't know if you've ever seen Mean Girls, but it was definitely giving Regina George about to get her energy, about to get it all back. So if anyone's going to turn on anyone in that cage match, somehow, some way, it's going to be Ryan and it's going to be Nick. How dare you call my brother annoying? That's my brother. Your brother's annoying. How about that?
Who looked at him and said, are you crying? Did you?
Yes. Yeah. I think it was Joe Hendry. Are you crying?
That makes it even worse, although it's going to play into next week. So here we go. It's funny. Oh,
if y'all all made fun of me, I'd cry too. What about somebody? That's my defense mechanism. That's the last one I got.
So Nick is in it. And we talked about this last. Oh, Elijah said it. Okay. Well, it sounded like it was Joe Hendry, but Elijah's like, you crying?
That's not funny, guys. Tears are important.
That's true. It is important. I had therapy this afternoon. It's important to talk about these things. Feelings are complex. Oh, Ryan's
the truth is also important.
That's right. If you don't tell the truth, then people get mad at you when you get caught in your lies. That's what happens. So Ryan Nemeth's not telling the truth, and he's not in the match, and he's just a big old loser. And this is something that we talked about last week, because we were wondering who are the other two people in the cage. And I immediately said, oh, it's Nick Nemeth. And you were like, are you sure? And I'm like, nah, it's Nick Nemeth. And that was, I didn't even know. That's the thing. Like, this wasn't they came out of the spoilers because they taped it all backstage. And that stuff usually doesn't get out unless you go digging. And I didn't want to. So instead, I was just like, yeah, it's Nick Nemeth. He's coming back. They're making a big deal out of like 4 weeks off. And this first possible date back is the live show. He's the big guy in the company. So why not? I don't know if this is going to be Ryan costing them the match, or Nick getting involved and costing the match, or Nick or Ryan turns on Nick and costs them the match as a result. And we get to Ryan and Nick, which is what I want for the pay-per-view. And then we get to Nick and JBL, and we do everything we already laid out. If we can get to Nick Nemeth versus JBL at Slammiversary, I need to run the biggest victory lap I've ever run, because it's the most absurd shit I've ever fantasy booked on any show ever. And I booked... for Survivor Series years ago, I flippantly said, oh, they're just going to add Tamina. And people were like, what? And then they added Tamina to a Survivor Series match at the last minute. This is the shit that I do, Cresta.
My original retort was going to be, yo, who is that for? But then I thought about a few TNA booking decisions, and I immediately wanted to staple my mouth shut.
Yep. It's gonna be great. It's all for me. Oh god. So anyway, Ryan Nemeth is a big old loser, and Nick Nemeth is not watching the show. That's really what it comes down to.
Damn, Ryan Nemeth just wants to be accepted. Here we are bullying him.
That's fine. Do you have anything to add about the Elijah and Brian Myers match? We kind of glossed over it, but it was pretty standard fare for me, at least.
Not at all.
Great. Jim Miller's backstage with the Rascals and Ace Austin. Ace apologizes for his past, which I like. When a heel apologizes for his past actions, and also references why he did it. He didn't say, I was a different person. He said he did it for personal gain. At least he was honest about it. But then he also said, I'll never pretend to be your friend and stab you in the back. That, again, if you're going to tell a story of redemption, this is how you do it. And I was actually a big fan of that Ace Austin segment along with the Rascals.
No, I love that. I think... if you want to truly show reform, you also add a nugget of truth. It's like, I may be this, but I'm not that. So at least you got that going for me. You could do with that as you want. I totally agree with that. I thought that was such a nice touch to that segment.
And that all leads to the sixth man later on in the night, where the Rascals and Ace Austin drop the match to the Northern Armory. Eric Young gets the big win. This was, again, solid match. I got to see Sinner and Saint at Smash Wrestling before Elimination Chamber in Toronto this past weekend. Got to walk up and reintroduce myself to them, because for those who don't know or don't remember, Jeremy Lambert and I had the opportunity to do Sinner and Saint's entrance interview when they officially signed with TNA over on our morning show in the weeds. So I had a chance to go over, talk to Judas Icarus and Travis Williams, and just, again, reintroduce myself and also congratulate them, because they're doing great things here on TNA, and they're also still working a crazy schedule on the independents, including Smash Wrestling, where they're the tag champions. They look great in this match as well. This is a different road for them working with Eric Young. But overall, I thought the match was solid. You had Rascals get involved. Wesley gets involved with Tyreek and Tyson, and Wentz takes them out. Trey gets interrupted by Wesley. Daniel Spencer is asking EY if his contact lens fell out and if he wants a tissue for the little cut on his nose. EY hits a pile driver, gets pinned on Trey Miguel for the win. Daniel Spencer just said, come on, what's he doing? Is your nose hurting? Can I check your nose?
I mean, I hate when you're right, because it's like, what am I going to say to someone who's right? He's right. There are two things that are a constant in TNA. Luchadors losing, Daniel Spencer being distracted. It's just how things work, man. Honestly, I do want to point out Wentz taking out the tag option for Eric Young towards the middle of the end of the match. I thought that was so smart, because commentary kept putting over how Wesley and Tyree are comparable. Wesley, Tyreek, and Tyson, are comparable to Eric Young and the Northern Armory, because you've got a veteran with two young people taking them under their wing. And I think that the Rascals are a perfect kind of tweener act, if you will, because they can be jerks, but they're not like Omega jerks. They're not going to be like a Violent by Design or even the System. They're kind of like, if you will, Deadpool. Like, I'm a bad guy, but I'm not like that. Jesus Christ. Like, and I think they're such a great fit for each other. So with these guys together, I hope that I hope that the Rascals and Ace Austin can wrestle a kind of like heel-ish style against these heels, because they're not going to do it trying to be baby faces, with all due respect.
Yeah, exactly. So this is all in service of a few different stories, because you've got Wesley, Tyson, and Tyreek going up against the Rascals and Ace Austin at Sacrifice. And then you've got the Northern Armory and the story that they're trying to tell with Steve Macklin. That was played out earlier in the night. I think we should probably get to that, because we had a third layer on top, which is First Class Penthouse is back. I guess the stars from the live show couldn't stay an extra night, because they were a little lights for the First Class Penthouse tonight.
Listen, rent is expensive, and a smart man rents for the night, not for the month. So we downsized our penthouse, so this is the people we could fit in there while keeping it spacious and classy. Corporate Crest has got you covered. I've got everything covered.
They also downplay the quality of this one. I didn't like this one as much. I think the live one blew my expectations out of the water. This particular First Class Penthouse, they did a KO Kevin Owens tease, but it was KC Navarro. It didn't hit as well as the AJ one did on the live show. KC talking about still hurting from Steve Macklin and the match that they had. KC Navarro got put over by Macklin in an interview that I did with him recently, so you'll be seeing that eventually. Macklin comes out. He gets called out by AJ Francis. Macklin calls Francis a Teemu Suge Knight, which even I was like, okay. All right. Who gave you that line?
Yo, he cooked him twice. He said Scrappy Doo in reference to KC Navarro. I was like, wow, you ate that. And then followed up with the Teemu Suge Knight. I was like, now Macklin, that's a New Jersey boy. He was out here cooking. He was cooking tonight.
And he walks out and he's just like, I'm married. He talks to the other one of the women there. Like, I didn't think she was coming on to you.
I'm making it clear. I don't know if you've seen my wife. I'm making it very clear, pal.
She'll break your arms. It's fine. Don't worry.
She'll break your arms.
Then they're like, give me 30 minutes and the match is going to happen. So the match does happen. And AJ Francis beats Steve Macklin. It's a good match, because it's a solid, like, bigger dude versus a pretty big dude. But it's a struggle match, because the bigger dude is bigger and therefore he's going to power out of a lot of the moves. I can't get over Macklin using the Olympic Slam. It fits, but it's also not a move that I've ever seen him do or expected him to do. There was a time when you and I, when we started the show, when we were saying Macklin is pretty basic with moveset. Mm-hmm. And when I brought it up with him in our first interview, he mentions that he's a heel, so he doesn't have to do this stuff. Now that he's working more of a babyface style, he's starting to figure out those little things that he can add to his repertoire to be a little flashier, but still maintain his character. This is one little additional move that I think is good for him to have. yeah, and the matches again. It's solid stuff. AJ Francis goes for the spear. He calls it the TFL. He posted on socials what that is. It's like two effing something. Total losers. Effing. No, I got now. I gotta look it up because now I'm thinking about it. Sinner and Saint show up at ringside. They distract AJ Francis. Macklin takes control and then confronts Northern Armory. But Macklin is like, "Hey, I don't need you watching my back." AJ Francis takes advantage, hits the down payment, gets the win. And then we'll get into the backstage stuff. TFL is total effing legend, by the way.
Work, Diva.
The match itself, any thoughts on that?
Okay. My first note is, now what if Eric Young shows up and the foreshadowing was there in the chicken bones? I will give AJ Francis his shot, his flowers for that giant yeet he did to Steve Macklin from the corner to the other corner. Literally, it was a coast to coast. Justin throwing this man. It was, I got to give AJ, you may not like his methods, but that boy's strong. That boy's strong. He eating his oats. Now, I want to touch on what you said about Macklin having the Olympic slam. And like, yeah, I could see him being a face. But again, Macklin to me kind of oozes that, ew, I'll beat you up. Kind of like, now that he's like, I feel like he's coming to his own. It's giving like very Stone Cold. I'm not trying to cause mayhem, but my thing is mayhem for all, you know, if you wanted, you could come and get it. So like an angle slam, I could see it, but maybe a fisherman suplex, if I may, you know what I mean? Like I could see it because it's like, yeah, that really works, but, and it looks impressive on someone like AJ Francis, who is 8'9". So.
And the thing with the angle slam or the Olympic slam is that you're picking up, spinning around and putting down. Mm-hmm. You're like a Northern Lights suplex on a big, big guy like that. That's tough. You gotta, you know,
a fisherman suplex.
What did I say?
A Northern Lights. Cause I'm like tippy toes on that.
Well, I mean, Northern Lights, fisherman suplex. It's close enough. You still got to hook the leg and then flip him over. And that's a little momentum building. Like you got to do it with a big dude. And it's, if you do it with the big dude, it's tough, but I could see it. It's just, I don't know if it's something to add. I like
both him. Both of those are with a big dude is tough.
That's true, but one is a little more swinging momentum and the other one is more lifting momentum. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Talking about why people do moves. This is what you get on the show. You get move psychology once in a while. We're not just talking idiots. Man. Yeah, we're not just talking idiot clowns. We know our stuff sometimes.
Wait, one of us. If I'm the talking idiot clown, I'll have you know.
No, that's fair. I talk about passports. Macklin finds Northern Armory after the match backstage. And then Northern Armory says, and EY says, we're doing it for you. And Macklin's like, well, I don't trust you. And then they say, well, let the truth guide you. And then Kazarian is just standing in a corner watching along. And he says he's enjoying watching Macklin fall apart. And Macklin's like, don't do this. Don't do this, Frankie. So it feels like that's a match that's coming to sacrifice. Steve Macklin versus Frankie Kazarian. Which, honestly, I don't hate. But again, Frankie Kazarian has been not so secretly on a tear. So if Macklin is about to drop another one, whew, they're really testing that.
I don't hate it. First of all, Frankie Kazarian looks like the guy from Spy Kids or the kid from Spy Kids all grown up. I have to say it. Tonight was the most egregious one. I kind of lived because to me, it's so heelish. You know how you look and you're doing it anyway. And it makes me laugh because you're doing the most annoying thing to get under people's skin. And Frankie Kazarian is an evil genius or unintentionally the funniest man alive. That being said too, Eric Young, you're saying I'm above this. I know better than you for your own good. You got stabbed and violent by design. Please. I'm not sure if you know what's best. I'm sports confused.
Keep in mind, Eric Young is above the TNA World Championship. He is above Santino Marella. He is above Anthem. He is above everyone because Eric Young is a ghost.
He's a ghost. He's a specter.
The man died and came back to life. Okay.
He's the Jesus of TNA. He's PCO now. He's perfect creation, Eric Young.
He's been around for the last, he's been around the company forever. So like he is the ghost of TNA. He
Eric the Young, phantom of TNA.
He is TNA. He is literally Mr. TNA. Don't get it twisted.
Not Mr. Kazarian. TNA is fantastic. Honestly, I want his new moniker to be Mr. TNA.
When he turns face, that's gonna be it.
Nah, as heel, it's even better. Can you imagine? I'm above this. I'm Mr. TNA.
Because when you're this big, they call you Mr. Speaking of big, Moose and Obafemi have their face-to-face. Moose is the franchise, of course. Security gets in the ring, and they do the half and half, the chain link from across the ring. And then Oba says, you know, I heard rumblings about this match with Moose, and then I won the NXT championship, so why do you want this now? And Moose says, well, I waited for you to be the NXT champion. But of course, Moose calls it the NXT World Championship, which is a mistake that I make often. It's not a world championship. It's just the NXT championship. So sorry, Moose, stop trying to upsell this title. It's the TNA World title, but it's the NXT championship. Anyway, I digress. Oba says he's one of one. He'll walk in and out of Roadblock as the NXT champion. And then JDC grabs the mic and says, security, first one of you to jump Oba gets to join the system. And I'm just like, all right, that's great. But also, like, why are you trusting this?
Why would you want to join the system? The last guy they are. So I had a stroke. Let's try that again. Why would you want to join the system? The last guy they offered to join the system, they were treating him like a young boy.
Yeah. There's an opportunity, I'm sure, but like your opportunity is to be their bitch.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray, and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
Get the towels.
So anyway, all the security jump Oba and he pushes them off and takes them all out. Moose misses a high kick that was meant for Femi. He nails JDC because the system are holding up Oba Femi. He powers out, but then Moose gets the spear and he holds up both titles because he's going to lose at Roadblock, because Moose can take a loss. It's fine. He's going to beat Jeff Hardy in the ladder match on Friday next week anyway. So it's all good, right?
I agree with that. I think also Obafemi looked really badass here. And for me personally, as someone, again, who doesn't watch NXT, not because I don't want to, because I have a life. I can't watch wrestling every day of the week. He looked badass here, just pushing off everyone. It was so good. And it kind of sucked to see Moose standing on top of him the way he did. But it does give him that aura like, damn, Moose, you really about to lose. But you deserve it too. Whether you can take the loss outside of kayfabe, like, okay, you'll be fine. Your character is kind of solid right now. In kayfabe, the system, man, they suck. You deserve everything bad. Every one of y'all deserve everything bad that's happening to you. That's why you got kicked in the face.
Well, continuing our TNA block, Fraxium have a little promo backstage, and they say goodbye to the Hardys. They're going to win the TNA tag titles. No, they won't. they'll be watching the Hardys versus the Colognes tonight. Well, there wasn't much to watch in that match, by the way, because very quickly, that was a quick match. It was a disqualification. The system got involved. The Hardys technically win. Out come Hendry and Elijah and Leon Slater. They make the save again. That's when Santino made the steel cage match. But either way, you got Fraxium versus the Hardys first. That's Tuesday night at Roadblock at Madison Square Garden at the theater. So you should go because you like NXT. You watch every week, right?
I'm actually going to Raw on Monday. So oh, nice.
Where are you sitting? In the gods way up there?
I'll tell you offline.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. This is going to be good. Fraxium Hardys, it's going to be a fun match. I am looking forward to that. Because it's for the TNA Tag Team Championships, I expect the Hardys to win. Fraxium will take their first tag team loss in a very long time, and then Tyson and Tyreek will beat them for the NXT tag title sooner than later. That's where I'm at with that.
I think I need to watch NXT a little bit more in my free time. That's what I will say, because I don't have a nuanced opinion about, or even a half-baked one.
That's fair. Well, let's finish off the NXT talk, because Masha Slamovich came out in a holy 90s tracksuit.
Honestly, it reminded me of the cups that you would get the unlimited soda in. I lived. I thought this was fashion. This was everything.
She looked great. I'm not taking away from it. I was just like, holy 90s. It's like we're going to the Max again, watching Saved by the Bell.
She saw what the 80s was doing for the Outrunners and said, you know what?
I'm going to take the date that I was born. So this looks good. She cuts a promo. And here's the thing. Masha Slamovich is not known for being a great promo. I've seen her cut good promos outside of TNA. Now she's been tossed to the fire, which is good. This was not the most amazing promo, but it's good. She says, you know, you're Knockouts champion. You've got a target on your back, but she's a fighter. Tells Cora Jade that their match at Sacrifice won't be a match. It'll be a fight, which again, I want that to be a fight. I wish it was hardcore, because I've mentioned this before. Cora Jade before NXT was like a hardcore wrestler. She, Elena Black, was that type of wrestler. I'm hoping she brings some of that out. There was a little scare on Tuesday, for those who don't know. Jordynne Grace had a match against Cora Jade on NXT. The match ended early because Cora Jade got rocked, is how she put it. It seemed to have been some sort of scare, head injury, but she's indicated she's okay. So it feels like the match at Sacrifice is still on, so that's good news. But again, if wish our best to Cora. She comes out, calls Masha overhyped, says she's going to win the Knockouts title. Masha starts to reply, and then she gets attacked by Tessa, and then Laying Lee makes the save. So they're doing a tag match next week. But really, the star of the show, the audience, screaming, Tessa, we coming for you.
I was wondering what they were chanting.
Oh, you knew what they were chanting.
I'm sorry.
Rightfully so.
Honestly, no, I couldn't hear it, because I feel like this time they actively tried to muffle the crowd just a touch. And honestly,
they said it. They basically let it happen twice, and then they sent Laying Lee like out there immediately, like play the music, get her out there. So it wasn't as pronounced because she was already out there.
At this point, I won't lambast and say things I've already said. At this point, I'm just saying, what you think is going to happen every time Hulk Hogan?
Exactly it. Well, anyway, Masha and Cora Jade are still on for Sacrifice. And then Laying Lee has a match at Sacrifice as well. We talked about the Colognes match, so I can get rid of that on my list. We're breezing through this. This was a show. This wasn't a super busy show, but it was fine.
I will say I did like the line from the Masha in-ring promo, but she had told Cora that, listen, I'm just going to expose you and let you people know that you can't hang with the real fighter. So I'm like, all right, Cora, those are some tough words, because I believe it. If I didn't know any of your independent stuff, I absolutely believe it. So let's hope for the best. I think the match is going to be good regardless, but I am Team Masha all the way, 4,000%.
Yeah, absolutely, as we should be. She is the good guy. People saying we left anything out, trust me, I'm doing things in my own pace. I haven't missed a thing. Savannah Evans defeating Xia Brookside, to which I say, huh? Rosemary's watching from the air ducts, to which I said, huh? And then the finish was Savannah Evans selling the knee that she herself caused the injury to. And then the referee checks on Zaya checks on Evans and then gets Zaya out of the way. So Evans KOs Brookside from behind and wins, to which I then say, huh?
Zaya heel turn. Listen, sometimes you just got to throw stuff together and just let it happen. Rosemary's stalking a new target. And it's good to see Savannah Evans on TV. Let's get more knockouts on there. I choose to be positive, Pete. And positively speaking, there's been a lot of bad press around the knockouts division because of one individual. Let's show people, even if you're going to crap on it, that there's other people there to look at and to enjoy. So this corporate crest is out in full force today. I'm gonna spit everything.
Good for you trying that one, because this match, I don't know what I expected, but I did not expect that.
I don't know how. I have like 5 notes for this match. I was surprised she hesitated. I'm like, girl, just beat her up. Like, honestly, no. The folly of many heels, and I believe you said this, is trying to be a good guy. I mean, a face is trying to be a good guy sometimes. This person would bust you open over a can of eggs. Eggs in a can? I wouldn't eat that. And they're going to bust you open over it? Girl, take that woman's knee out. Crush that man's eggs, girl.
Yep, I muted myself at that point. Yep. The elegance is in Spitfire, the concierge. First of all, 24 hours, but it's 7 days later, made it a little strange. This is something we talked about last week. It's like, how are we going to do this? Because they started it right after the match, and then here we are 7 days later playing it up as if it's 24 hours.
It didn't even feel like a concierge. It felt like almost like a hazing training montage.
Yes, it did. So they do the makeover. They make them look like goth punk queens who don't look at it. It was very weird. They go for a run. Nice Man is sad because he has to watch them. They give them the bag chicken, which I'm like, we've all done that. We've all eaten chicken out of a bag.
If you give it to your dog, if your name is Fido.
Woof, woof. Later, they go to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is legitimately something that Jody does. They do weightlifting, which, you know, you could tell Danny Luna absolutely does that. And then later on, as they're leaving, Iceman is a janitor, and he beats down Jody Threat. The Elegance is beat down Spitfire, and then they run away. Even though that was the end of their 24 hours. Allegedly. I don't know, man.
This is strange. I was sports... I don't know. I wanted the sports call the police for a kidnapping, because this is not what you agreed upon.
It was very strange, and it's not that it wasn't, like, it was entertaining, but it was the antithesis of, like, they tried to set this up, and it just wasn't very well established, or didn't come together well.
To say you wanted to bully these girls for 24 hours, I'd rather you say that, because that's what happened. That's what I saw.
Pretty much. That's all it was. But,
Bag chicken is different. I don't care if you're from Canada. That's different.
That's what bag chicken's all about, man. You just get in and get out. In Baltimore, we eat chicken out of a box. So what's the difference if it's in a bag or a box? Box is technically more hygienic. Plastic bag.
Box, bucket.
Get it out of a bucket. Those are cardboard. Come on, y'all eat Popeyes. What's the difference? Or KFC?
Okay,
not too much
on the Popeyes slander. My cholesterol and my sensibilities are both offended.
First of all, it's a general y'all. It's not you specifically. Because
I love Popeyes, but it's bad for you.
It's fine. I just don't want people getting weird with me in the replies. That's all. It's a general y'all, okay?
You know, I'm so naive. I'm now just putting 8 and 2 together. I'm getting what you mean. Like, oh, not like that. God, no. Press the star, ladies and gentlemen.
That's okay. I'm just trying to get ahead of the weirdness.
No, Joel didn't mean it like that. Chill out, y'all.
It's fine. I'm pretty sure people have understood at this point that I'm not that person. Coming down the home stretch. Ain't much left to talk about this show. We're going to be in and out in record time at this point.
This is our fastest show. Holy hell.
This was not much of a show. I'm saving this for last because this was my favorite part of the entire show. And of course, it's urine-based, so you're going to love it. Santana defeats John Skyler. They come out. The great hands do, and Ali says, or sorry, Skyler says that Ali gave them a free pass to take care of the Santana problem. Shout out to Jason Hotch, by the way. Got to meet him at Smash Wrestling. Looks great in that suit. Keep wearing it. Looks good. Powerbomb quick win from Santana. So that's the match. Anything to add there?
You know what I love in professional wrestling? When art imitates life. It's not lost on me that the guys who initially did the dirty work for Ali and were originally fired first in brutal fashion are now doing the dirty work again in a second term. You ate that. You ate that.
Go ahead.
This match didn't even happen. That's how I feel like. This match was so fast. It didn't even happen.
As it's tradition with a good hands match. Great hands in this case. Post-match, Hotch tries to attack Mike Santana with the ring bell hammer. Instead, Santana hits spin the block. And then Ali appears on screen, says, Santana, you're unhinged. And says, well, you've been randomly selected by Anthem officials for a urine test. And the first thing I thought to myself was, Santana is going to throw that pee in Ali's face somehow. And while he didn't do exactly that, let's continue. Later backstage, Santana goes to Santino. That's not going to trip me up in my notes. And says he doesn't deserve this. And that he hasn't slipped up. And his whole time here, he's been a model employee. Santino says, they went over my head. I can't do anything about this. So instead, you should go and prove them all wrong. Do the test. And that's it. Tasha Steele is then shown berating an intern over Ali's coffee. And the first thing I wrote was ... P. Then later, Ali wants the results. Oh, sorry. And then Mike Santana pulls aside the intern and says, I got this. Don't let anyone talk to you this way. You get to step in. And then I'm like, okay, urine. And then later on in the show, this is again a full thread piece, which I love. Uh-huh. Ali's like, I want the results. He pulls Natasha Steele's and she's like, oh, Santana passed the test and I don't know what to tell you. And then Ali drinks the coffee, which is actually urine because of course he did, makes a face and says, get out of here. And then he pretends that he's going to yak, which again, love it when the baby faces use urine to get their way. Very Jericho Regal from 2001, very Jeff Hardy and Sheamus from the Thunderdome era. Very lots of urine. Good stuff.
I honestly live for this. Many moons ago, this may or may not be a true story. I may or may not have worked at a restaurant where people were being very rude. Not me personally, or may or may not have seen someone do something similar to a restaurant patron who was being awful.
I live for that.
Moral of the story is be nice to the people who handle your food. You never know.
That's also what they said about the movie Waiting. Be nice to the people who handle your food.
Honestly, there are three people I will always be nice to. The people handling my food, the people handling my money, and my grandma. Because I don't believe that that's a sweet old lady. I think she could box me down.
It's the goat. Sorry, you have to watch the show. Online, they posted a very funny exclusive after the show where Mance Warner and Steph DeLander are leaving the building. They open up the trunk to their rental car and Sammy Callahan pops out. They fight again. They get pulled apart. And then Santino says no physicality until sacrifice or else they get fired. So that's a hardcore match sacrifice.
Honestly. Sometimes I'll be like, Sammy Callahan, the character, is such like a dirty man. Like, who can get more gross than him? And then Mance wanted to shut up like, oh, this is a gross off.
You ain't seeing Sammy Callahan open mouth making out nastily with his girlfriend. So who's worse? Steph DeLander's beautiful, though.
When you describe it like that, my mind just...
Come on, it's just like, blah, 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 you know, it's just.
I'm a child of God. That's my answer. I'm a child of God.
We just spent 5 minutes talking about a pee segment. We ain't no children of nothing.
I mean, honestly, I agree with Santana. How is that okay? The pee segment will always get a pop out of me. I hate it. But again, to me, this all builds into how good TNA did with respecting Santana's journey and the video package for now to have Ali come and make fun of it. I can't wait for this match because in my mind, I like, okay, I know this is professional wrestling. But what if I close my eyes real close and they actually fight? What if I, not saying they have to, because I wouldn't want that. But like, you're doing stuff that makes me believe that if I do this, he's actually hitting you.
And that's the show. Next week, Masha Slamovich and Ling Lee team up against Tessa Blanchard and Cora Jade. Laredo Kid takes on Wesley. And by the way, Cresta Star, what happens when a luchador steps foot into a ring in Impact?
Unfortunately, they lose. There is like a 99% chance they lose. We saw them win one time. So I'm hoping for the best, but you know,
the person who won was Laredo Kid, so you never know. Edward Edwards takes on Leon Slater for sacrifice advantage, and they announced this match before they made the 10-man tag steel cage match, so that made me laugh, because I was like, advantage for what? It's a 10-man tag, and then all of a sudden it was, oh, now it's in the cage. Sia Brookside takes on Rosemary, and Hendry defends the world title against who? I can only wonder. Maybe there's a lawsuit involved. Who knows? Anyway.
You better stop, for my big brother comes and beats you up.
My big brother.
I mean, at first it was annoying, and now I'm like, that's kind of really funny. That's really funny. I would do it too. Come on, I'd ride my brother's coattails if I could.
Listen, I thought I was getting sick of the My Big Brother, and he came out and did it again tonight, because of course. But the backstage thing where he starts to cry, I thought that was, it was just really funny and really stupid. So I got to appreciate it.
It was like an overacted high school Degrassi scene back in the day where it's like, and nobody likes you. They run away. Like, you know, you guys are not nice. It's an after school special about why you should bully your peers and talk about your problems like adults.
It's perfect. That's all it is. So we'll be back next week, because this show might go longer than 45 minutes next week. We'll see. Cresta Star, what you got going on for the rest of this time?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been fantastic. Thank you so much for hanging out here tonight with myself and Joe Pearl. I'm here every Thursday talking about TNA and all the fun stuff that happens possibly here next Friday as well, like Joe was saying, for the pay-per-view. They're backstage, not backstage, digital media exclusive. You know what I'm trying to say. Also, every Saturday, I'm here on Fightful with Rick and Iridian going over all things Collision. And Sunday, sometimes Monday, I release my podcast. We're back. We took last week off, Slap Grapple Pop, episode 4. I'll be there. That's over on my personal YouTube channel. That's going to be on Cresta Star at YouTube. And you can follow Cresta Star anywhere. You can type Cresta Star, except for the X, where it's Cresta the Star. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on Twitch. I'm on whatever, Instagrams. And that's not Facebook, because F that. I think I'm out of words to say. I love and respect you. Joel Pearl, where could the people find you?
Go watch all of Cresta's stuff. If you're not, you're missing out. The Collision post shows are fun. Have fun with that one on Saturday. Lots of wrestling ahead. And also Sunday is a pay-per-view, so you got that to look forward to. We're back Thursdays. I go In the Weeds Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on a 5-a-day show. Let me back that up. In the Weeds is the show that I host. That's on Fightful Overbook. That's our sister channel. Go subscribe to that channel now. Myself and Jeremy Lambert, we host the show Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Jeremy goes Tuesdays to Thursdays with SP3, who used to host the ROH post show on this channel. But of course, they're not here for the foreseeable future, because Ring of Honor has been, how do I put this nicely, dog shit. So they're instead going to leave it to us. Anyway, we go In the Weeds. That's 10 a.m. Eastern on Fightful Overbooked, 5 days a week. I'll be back tomorrow with that show, so go check it out. Other than that, I'm here with Cresta every single Thursday talking about TNA Impact, and we do most of the plus shows, but we definitely do all of the pay-per-views, so we'll be back on those for Rebellion at the end of April as well. So instead, leave a thumbs up for now, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to Fightful Select, best express in the business, and of course, just send us some love. Comment on the show. Did you like it? Did you not? Let us know. For Cresta Star, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, for Friends Beyond the Binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye!
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.